This is the Negative Splits Podcast.
Welcome to another episode of the Negative Splits Podcast. My name is Bill, and I am joined today by Sleepy G and Sean. What's going on, fellas?
I don't want to be called Sleepy G anymore.
No? How come?
I want to be called Spooky G.
Spooky G.
Spooky G. Let me tell you a spooky story.
All right.
Bill, you know this because you lived it with me. We had a buddy of ours who passed away. He was a firefighter. He fell through the floor in a burning house. Real close friend of the family passes away, right? That night on the news, they show his picture. I had a couple beers. I'm upset. Lost a friend. I said, what a damn waste. As I said that, TV powers off on its own, and my surround sound speakers come on. Really, like, you know, jarring. Scared the crap out of me, right? So I'm at work. This is 2 days ago, and I'm telling the story. This actually was Friday. And I was telling the story to coworkers, and I said, you know what, though? I really don't believe in that kind of stuff. I go, it's just like happenstance. And I was like, you know why I don't believe? It's because why can't it be replicated? Why can't you do it again? As I was saying that, I'm walking with my boss, a giant recycling bin just tips over on its own, and then we have these code blue alarms start going off as I was saying that. I was so freaked out. So I guess I'm going to tell you boys, I believe. I just want to put that out in a public fashion. Do either of you guys believe in spirits? I know where this is a running podcast, but hey, this is what we do. We talk a little out there. Do either of you believe in supernatural?
Not really, no. But I'm kind of hesitant to say that just in case, and then something wants to prove it to me tonight. But
that's what I was going to go with. Not really, but I don't want to say it. Because then all of a sudden, so I'll hear something scraping against the wall like I did at Glenn's house once when I lived there.
Yeah, my house I think is haunted, man. See, I've had too many weird things go on that, I'm someone who believes in science and I'm not the most religious human being, so it's tough for me to believe in like a spiritual world, but so much has happened. You have to wonder, man. It would be cool, though, right, if there was something more than this?
Just got to watch out for those recycling bins next time in the hallway, man.
I'm telling you. Well, I'm hoping there's something more than this because we lost a couple running buddies, right? So I'm hoping for the marathon. Boy, I'm going to be calling on them. But I'm going to be like, come on, give me some strength on mile 18 to 26, man. I would be beckoning all my buddies that I've lost throughout my whole life. I'll probably go through everybody begging for help, you know, for each mile. That's like eight miles. Back. So I might get desperate because I don't know if I know eight people that passed. And I might end up like referring to like Kurt Cobain or something, someone who I had
no connection to.
Yeah, no connection to. Hey, Kurt, I know it's kind of weird and you weren't really a runner, but if you could just get me through this last mile, I'd appreciate it.
Well, how many weeks away are we now from Buffalo? It's I think it's 14 or 15, right?
Yeah.
Oh, come on, Bill. You know. Yeah. Don't act like you're not sure.
I'm looking up my phone. I just lose track of these weeks, and they seem to be going by so quick, and I can't wait for winter to be over with because, man, I just coming off an 18-miler on the treadmill, and you know me, I'm not one to complain too much about using the treadmill, but it's definitely getting to that point where I can't wait to get outdoors more frequently, and it's not going to be, well, actually, next week. It's looking positive for us here in Western New York. But right now, I mean, today it was icy out, really icy. So, you know, Sean?
Well, I think that we all train on the treadmill a lot during the winter months. But when you start getting to those longer runs, those are the ones where you really want to get outside. Yeah. I mean, we can do them on the treadmill, mm-hmm. But those daily miles, those 6, 7, 8 milers that we're doing during the week, like that's tolerable. And like I said, we can do the long ones. We've all done them, but right. Man, those are the ones you're really like, all right, let me just get outside, free the mind, get outside, really feel, you know, that stride on the, whether it's the pavement or trail or whatever it is, rather than that belt. But, you know, weather hasn't been that permitting lately. So hopefully this weekend, I know you sent, I didn't look at the weather. You sent me a screenshot, got me a little bit excited about this weekend because I'm hoping to get a decent long run outside this myself. So hopefully.
John, you ran in a foot of snow, you crazy bastard.
Yeah, it was a good time, but man, was it a workout. I really underestimated what the challenge would be. And I only did a 6 mile out and back. I mean, it's not like I did a real long run. I had kind of a, kind of a low week anyways. I was feeling a little under the weather. So, but when I saw that Saturday, I mean, the wind was 4 miles an hour. I mean, that here was, that's crazy. It's like no wind at all. Like lately, I know G sent us a message the other day and he's like, man, this damn wind. That's true. Every it's like always day. Freaking windy. And it doesn't have to be like, you know, Chicago wind, but it's enough as runners. We hate running in anything over what, like 10, 12 miles an hour. It starts to become like, gosh, this sucks. But it was a good time. And I thoroughly enjoyed it. It kicked my butt. That's for sure. I mean, I had to actually stop twice, take a breath. Did like a real quick Facebook Live on the Facebook group just because I was like, I need to take a break for a second. But it was really, really fun. The next day, I felt like I ran a marathon. So it definitely used muscles that I'm not used to using. I felt like maybe, you know, I went out like I thought I was going to run on the road, but it kind of beat me up like I was on a trail.
Yeah, a friend of the show, Gordon, and member of the Facebook group, he sent me a message and he was telling me he ran in the same conditions. And then the next day he goes, man, I don't know why, but my glutes are so sore. I'm like, because you ran in a foot of snow. We're working totally different muscles. And speaking of long runs, Glenn, you're coming off your longest long run in quite some time, rocking a 16 mile or two on a treadmill. How did that treat you?
Man, I tell you what, I made a big mistake with where I put my treadmill location. What a stupid location. One, Sean and you both are like Mr. iPads and these guys are able to watch stuff. I have nothing to watch.
Oh,
but that's not, I'm not even complaining about like where I'm not complaining about not watching anything.
Okay.
Where I made the big mistake was it's right next to my furnace and there's an outlet for the heat and you can't close the vent. So as you're running, and every time the furnace kicks on, it's blasting me right in the face. Like, it's right on head level of the heat. So it's like, man, I'm, like, doing bad water training. You know, that 16 miles was tough. I'm in this weird limbo with my hydration and fueling strategy. Like, I don't know me what too. I'm doing. Yeah, I'm like, I put a joke on a Facebook group. Like, I have a V-Fuel hat. I had sore drink. I had a mixed match of everything. So I tried Sword, which is just it's just a drink. But I have to admit, like, just doing a drink isn't enough for me. Like, I don't know, I get this, like, hunger, you know? Like, I want to eat something, like something solid or, like, a gel. Even though it's not solid, a gel, it gives you that perception that you're eating something, you know? So you feel like you're getting the energy. And with just a drink, I feel like, I don't know if it's got to be psychological, I guess is what I'm saying. Like, the product worked pretty good for me. I felt good, and when I tired out, it was just because, you know, like you said, it was the first long run I've done in a long time. If there's something you could change about yourself running-wise, what would you modify? And what I would modify for myself is the mental element, more than, like, turnover or anything like that, because I think all that stuff you could work on. And I don't know truly if you can work on the crazy part, you know? Like, I know for a fact, like, 2 years ago, I went into that marathon in the best shape of my life and put up the worst time. But it was mental. I totally was psyched out. I believed I was going to die because it was a desert, even though it was, like, 80 degrees or something. It wasn't ridiculous. But the mental game, to me, that's where I know as a runner where I struggle. I almost wonder if I should, like, consider it. I don't know if runners out there, leave feedback if you do. Like, if anyone goes to, like, almost like a sports psychologist or something to improve, like, that race day anxiety, because to me it cripples me.
I would say in the longer distance, my emotions.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I guess you could put that as a mental thing. I mean, I do go into things doubting myself at times. And but I usually get over that the minute the gun goes off, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I know that when things start getting a little tough later on in the race, I definitely can get myself emotional and go into a place that in a weird way is comforting, but it's not. And I don't like that. You guys have heard it. Bill's seen it, witnessed it.
Mm-hmm.
I snapped myself out of it, but he saw it in the marathon, and you guys both heard it at the end of Sega Honda. I was just like at a point where I was feeling sorry for myself. Like, I hate that. And I guess that's all part of, you know, even though Sega Honda was technically an ultra because it was like, you know, 0.3 or whatever, 26.3, but you know, it felt like an ultra. Like it felt very difficult. And that's just part of the highs and lows. And it's nice when you come out of it, because I did come out of it. So I don't know. Do I change it? Because it is nice when you come out and you get that high, but man, it is a mofo in the moment. I hate that game. I just want to keep going. I want to keep going and not start doubting myself and feeling bad for myself at times when it's getting, you know, tough in those long miles.
Yeah, and I would say for myself, I mean, there is a part of me that would say, like, you know, working on the mental games a little bit more, but I feel like I've had my good days. Like this past May in 2017, there was nothing that was going to get in my way, and it's happened in the past at the 5K that we did together, all of us in North Tonawanda. I knew that was going to be a good day. So, but for me, I wish I could be more present, be more in the moment on my runs. I feel like I'm very much businesslike most days, just looking to get through it. And so then I can worry about the next one. And, I don't know. It's hard to explain, but I just sometimes there's a time and place for that, but man, you just got to appreciate the moment. And so sometimes it's like, I'm never satisfied. That's where I wish I could change it a little bit and be like, you know, appreciate the moment a little bit more, because I just had a great week. Excuse me. I just had a great week. And, you know, sometimes you got to reflect on that and enjoy that and appreciate that. Cause, especially if you know, coming off, I had a little bit of a setback last year, you know?
Yeah, I know. And you know what? I think I could even put that on to something like the changes. I have in the past focused too much on that race, you know, focused way too much. And then,
oh, yeah,
the training cycle's over. And, you know, the training cycle, like an ultra or something, where you do have highs and lows, and it sucks in the beginning because you're building those miles, right? Especially if you've taken a little bit of time off since your last long race. And then you get to that point where it's just, you're gliding, and then it gets to the point where, God, I just want to get to this race, because you're feeling like it's endless. But I don't know, I guess, what do they say? Enjoy the process or something like that. I'm definitely kind of trying to do that this year. Like I'm excited about Buffalo. I feel like I'm going to do well, I'm hoping, but I'm not going to rush it or anything. But if I just want to step back before we switch topics, if I won't speak for Glenn, but for me, because we've had that conversation about training and coaches and all that, like the three of us have had this before. It's nothing new off mic, right? And sometimes we get a little, not so heated, but yeah, we start getting a little
chippy,
nervy with each other. Yeah. And I don't know, maybe listeners can relate to this, because a lot of people, you know, are on Strava and they see people, just to use you as an example, Bill, that are very structured like that and label your workouts and, you know, mm-hmm. you know, 20 by 500s or whatever the hell those things are you guys are always doing, right? But I guess my point is I don't want it to seem to, like, listeners that if you're not like that, it means you're, like, less of a runner, you're less passionate about it. I think that's what it is for me, that just because someone isn't that way doesn't mean that all of this doesn't mean as much to me as it does to Bill, right? It's just different approaches, you know. And we talked about that in our interview with the Buffalo News. Like there's three different guys, three different approaches.
I wasn't too crazy with how you described mine, but go on. I was like, of course you use that quote. Like, that's my luck in life, because I remember thinking, like, the only thing I wasn't too crazy about is, like, yeah, I don't know if I want that in there about me. And then How would you, our running philosophies, I would think I'm just more carefree, I guess. I would be more the carefree personality. I wouldn't want to be labeled as like the inconsistent, injury prone guy. Like it's, even if it's true, I didn't want that in an article about me, I guess. So I was like, but
well,
okay,
I mean,
here we
you sell us on being honest. I mean, it's nothing that listeners haven't heard before. You've struggled with injury the past few years. You've talked about the consistency. On a personal level, Bill and I, we know how much this job is demanding on you and how much time it takes. I mean, you sent us a message at 5 a.m. or whatever today that you had to go in early. You know, it wasn't to bash on you or make you look like shit. It was just trying to be honest, you know, like, because at times I don't know where you're at as far as your actual outlook, or not outlook, but like your approach that way.
You know what?
Because of the inconsistencies of the issues you deal with, it wasn't.
I think I'm as sensitive as you are. See, now here's an interesting thing. You're sensitive, I think, because you feel like the way Bill does things, like that structure, would make you less of a runner because you're not that structured, right? Or because you do your own thing, but you're equally as passionate about it. And I kind of feel like, if life sometimes throws you curveballs where you can't get it in, but if it's still your passion or something you still love, like it's, I feel like if you don't match a certain weekly miles as somebody who can do, you know, crazy consistency, and say, you feel like you're less of a runner. And, you know, someone once joked with me when I said something about being a runner, their comment was like, oh, you're still, they actually said like, are you still a runner? Like, you know, haha. And that really hurt, though. Like, that was a stinging, like, because it's like, shit, like, man, like, I don't know. Like, I think, you know, if you're still getting out there a couple times a week, you're still doing it, you know? And I don't know. It doesn't make me less of a runner. And I don't know if that's, like I said, I think it's just a sensitive issue. Like, you know, like, I feel like, man, I wish I could do more. I wish I was faster. I hate Strava time sometimes because, like, you know, like, a show friend of ours, Skylar Hall, right? I'm friends with him on Strava, and I'm going like, my God, this guy runs, you know, 6-minute miles like it's nothing, like, you know, 7-minute miles, which, you know, to an elite, like, they could do that. That's their easy pace. But still, it's real friggin' fast to me, and it's like, man, this dude could see me run like a, you know, 950 mile every day, basically. I get self-conscious about it. Like, you know what I mean? Not that the dude even looks at Skylar, if you're listening, I know you don't look at my miles, but I'm saying, to me, like, I get paranoid, like, because doing the show, we get exposed to more people, you know, cool people who are quick, and it's like, shit, you know, like, I don't know, I feel self-conscious, like, that makes me lesser of a runner, you know, like, because I'm not that quick.
I almost set off the Strava alarms today because somebody had the audacity to label a run that was in the 630s pace. Easy run. Come on.
Oh, you bastard.
Is that Jay West?
No, he wouldn't do that. But it was someone else, and I'm thinking to myself, man, if that's an easy run, brother, you're a professional. Because
yeah,
that's not an easy pace, man.
I remember a couple of years ago we talked about that when we were like, Jesus Christ, can you see this person's running? And it's an easy pace, you know, so we kind of got I forget what we were labeling ours, because we were kind of thinking that, like, well, yeah, crap, you don't want to like make somebody feel like
inferior,
you know what I mean,
or insecure.
Yeah And, you know, and gee, I apologize if I didn't, you know, I didn't, that wasn't my intention. Honestly, it was trying to just state a fact that there's people out there that listen, that, you know, maybe they want to run more, but they're having those reasons why they can't, the setbacks, and they can relate to you with that. That was my point of it. You know, it wasn't to make you seem like that. And it does,
you know, it sucked though at work, is because, you know, you were worried about people, what they would say to you at work. And I was there before everyone. I was there at 5:15 today, this morning. And then, but though I was on the floor and I came back to my office and the article was taped to my door, you know, so, you know, someone put it in there as a, you know, as a rib or whatever. And I was oh, it's cool. And then this lady came up to me. She goes, I was reading the article. Oh, that's pretty cool. And she's like, your brother sounds really awesome. What does that mean that he follows everything to a T? And I was like, I want to be the guy that follows everything to a T. Like, I don't want to be the fucking guy struggling with the promotion and inconsistency. Like, it's true. I'm not, you know, like you said, Sean, we do everything here real, but I'm giving you my true response now. It's like, shit, man. I wish I was the to a T guy or to the free spirited guy who's still fucking fast as shit, even though whatever, you know, like I want to be one of those two. I don't want to be the guy who's struggling, you know?
Well, for me, it was funny because Sean's quote about me being like the data driven one, it was fitting for me because of the field that I'm in. So at least, you know, when I get harassed about it by work, they can say, "Oh yeah, it makes sense. You're the nerdy one of the three of you guys," and I can just go along with it. Yeah,
nerdy. Do you see the stupid picture?
Yeah,
look at me, I'm jacked, baby.
Yeah, Bill looks jacked. I look like I got a set of boobs on me.
Can I ask you why did you send that picture? I looked one after.
Only the three of us. What am I gonna do? Like Photoshop the three of us?
Our Twitter for the next splits. Is way better than where we're at the creek by Bill's house. That picture's way better
than the two of us
looking like we can't breathe. And there's
that's when I had a stupid stress fracture. My legs like wrapped like a mummy in that picture, and I pulled the damn sleeve down. Was that when we ran with your brother?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah,
and big shout out to your brother Scott, man. Dude's awesome. I love following him on Strava and. You're a cool dude, Scott. We got to run next time you come up here.
All right, guys. So I got some current events for you, some recent headlines. And if you guys got some opinions, feel free to jump in and we can talk about them briefly. Here, let's start with our boy, friend of the show. And this will be a theme because many of these people are friends of our show. But Chris Mako was featured in a nice little write-up in this month's Runner's World. Chronicling his 2017 with the Mako show and basically going for it as a full-time runner and then, taking a full-time job again, but basically ended by saying he's hoping to land a golden ticket if possible. I'm not sure how many more races are eligible for Western three. States. There's three left?
Yeah, there's Black Canyon, the Georgia Death Race, and then Lake Sonoma.
All right, great. I have Black Canyon on this list to talk about. We'll save that. But, well, hopefully we wish him best of luck. And it was a really interesting piece just talking about his life and his outlook on things and kind of reminded me, and I put this on Twitter today, that, he's just a fun personality to follow, an easy guy to root for. And he's quietly released two episodes of the Mako show. So if you haven't seen them.
I caught him. I didn't even know. I'm like Mako's biggest fan. I haven't caught it.
I think they were very quietly released. I don't know. He's just maybe, I don't know, just keeping it low profile.
I don't know if he'd ever hear this, but this is what I would tell Chris. Chris, when he had said about like he'd release the Mako show once he got back in, you know, the form that he was in early 2017, I think I wish he would realize that the thing that a lot of his fans, you know, me being one of them, it's your personality, dude. Like, we like you. We like not the, I mean, it's awesome that you run fast, but like, even if you were just a recreational runner who had that charisma and were able to put that content out, that's what's cool. It's you have a personality and it offers inspiration or entertainment for us. You know, people who have share the same passion. So I wouldn't get too hung up on, you know, being whoever, you know, and you have that elite ability. I'm no way taking away from Chris Mako. Mako could be the best, but like, I don't think it should stop him from putting content out there. If he's not in the top three or top two or whatever, you know, he sets a very high standard for himself. And then I think the guy's hard on himself. I really do believe he has the charisma and personality to transcend not just ultra running, but he could be a top star with just in the running world. I mean, it's personalities are lacking. Galen Rupp, you might as well, you know, dude's like, I mean, we'd have him on the show just because of his name, but dude is boring as shit, right? I mean, the guy, who has any interest in him? You know, it's
Bill.
Yeah.
Well, as an athlete, I think he's phenomenal. Yeah, but
he's very like contrived. Everything he answers is, you know, cookie cutter answers. So to get that, I think Nick Simmons kind of captured that for a little bit. Like he, and I think he overdoes it sometimes, but like those larger than life and just, you know, like, I don't know, you can relate, man. Or funny dude, is a dude you'd like to have a beer with or hang out with.
I agree. Get him to Buffalo. Let's take Mock Well for some beers.
All right. Carl Meltzer. Speed Goat, right?
Yeah, my man. Speed Goat.
He won his 40th, I said 40th, 100-miler this past weekend.
100-miler of all time?
And 18th year in a row winning a 100-mile race.
Did you watch the documentary with him where he broke the trail that, what, I don't know what trail it is. Because it is, hey, listen, folks, we're from Buffalo. We're not super big. I don't know. I don't know the name of the trail record that he broke. The one time we had Sage on here and he was rattling off the different fastest known time trails. I was like, yeah, I don't know what you're saying, man. You could be making up some shit right now. And I'd agree with you at this point. But
I know what you're talking about, though.
Yeah. It was on Red Bull TV or something, and they have a documentary of him breaking this trail record, and it's awesome. The only thing that bothered me on it, he does his own haircuts, and he does them poorly.
It so, is hard to give yourself a haircut, that's
especially
for sure.
When you're running, you know, or, you know, like you're in, not running, but he's like in a rest station, you know, like trying to do his do up, man. I was like,
oh man.
And his wife said, like, yeah, he always insists on doing his own haircut. It kind of seemed like she was bothered by it, but she went with it. And the other thing is he eating like KFC or something, and I was thinking, like, that looks like some good fried chicken right there.
I gotta see this. I haven't seen yet.
Oh man, dude, seriously, watch it. I encourage all the listeners, it's on, like, again, it, search it up. It's the fastest known trail. I'd love to know what the hell which trail is. I should hit Google so I sound smart. But, yeah, Carl Meltzer, it's a great thing because, dude, he struggles, man, but he does it. Like, you know, the greatest stories aren't the ones. No one cares about someone. One of our friends, I won't name a name, but when he used to tell stories about his races, it used to bother me because they always sound so damn easy. Like, he did a 50-mile race, and he didn't sound like he struggled. And he'd be like, I think the greatest part of a story sometimes is that low. You know, and it builds to that crescendo.
Yeah, I agree. It's definitely better when you have that ups and downs and you hear all the struggles of the race rather than just cruise through it.
Yeah, it's like, oh, what the fuck is wrong with me, right? Like, I struggle through a 5K. Like, 5K, I'm, like, considering halfway through, like, maybe I should just stop. Maybe I should walk. Was someone hurt? You know, does it bother people?
Oh, my God. I admit, there's been times I go, oh, man, I could just stop and tell my buddies I twist and roll my ankle. 5Ks suck. I want to race one super bad. Bill, what has it been like since, like, 2 years since
it's
we forever, broke 20? Yeah.
It's been a long time.
Man, I want to run
one
bad.
Do you have a bad 5K story? You know what happened to me? This is legit. This is not a bullshit story. Like, when people, like, make up something, like, they do bad, like, oh, it's something, you know, I twisted my ankle, like you said, right? And there's been moments like that. I remember we did some, me and Bill did this race where, like, only five people entered, so we did it. So, like, thinking we could get top overall, and then the next year everyone realized that's what happened. So, like, you know, 100 people showed up to do this race, so it defeated the purpose of us doing it. But,
it's called cherry picking.
Yeah. Cherry pick to get the age group. I remember I did like 7 out of 9 races. I was top 3, and I'm not a really fast guy. So it was right off the marathon. I knew I was going to get, I was going to have the top fitness. You know, you get that right after you get that. You have that little, if you have that little small window where you're going to be at your peak for the 5K, you got to take it.
Mm-hmm.
I did it. It was at Bill's Hood. I was in Hamburg, New York, which is outside of Buffalo. Going, and I mean, I was strong that day. Some mother scruncher opened their car door. They were parked on the street, and while we were running, I go right in the car door. Like, you know what I mean? I didn't run into a full blast, but enough where I was like, stop, go, and then, like, you have to go around it, and then it's like,
only Glenn.
Completely wrecked my race. Like, you know what I mean? Like, and I remember, like, at the finish line, like, I was telling people, and I was thinking, like, they don't believe me because people make up crap in a 5K when you don't do good. But I really happened. I was like, I got robbed out of a PR.
I can't match that one, that's for sure.
No.
I feel like the last three or four statements I've said have thrown to both of you. I've gotten, I agree. I agree. Can't match that. Man, I must be stinking to join up tonight.
No, I mean, I want to add something to what you guys said. The 5K is the worst kind of pain you could be in. I mean, I guess if you were to do like some shorter track stuff, maybe it's just as terrible. But yeah, that's why I don't do them that often. But I would like to do one soon. But it's a terrible kind of pain, that's for sure.
Will you do that race again? If it, I haven't seen it,
I would love to.
On the
so
Buffalo
flat.
Runner calendar, but yeah, I want to. I'm hoping they do it again. I'd like to go and try it. I was just telling Nicole, my wife, yesterday. I'm like, man, I really want to race a 5K. It's been like 2 years. She's like, well, then pick one and just do it. I'm like, well, look at it outside. It's snow. I'm not gonna run. I don't want to run a 5K in the snow. Like I want it to be. I want it to be dry. I don't want ice.
You
want to
do your
right
best, yeah.
And so. That's It'd be sure. nice to chase down an age group.
All right, Glenn mentioned him, so I'm going to bring him up.
Ooh.
Last few headlines here. Sage Candidate, another friend of ours, past guest of ours on the show, going for that OTQ again. He came up a little bit short at Houston. It was like 50
Olympic
seconds.
Olympic trial qualifier.
Olympic trials qualifier. Two-time previous qualifier, I do believe. And he's going to make that attempt at Boston. The question I have for you guys is he's started up the vlog again, and he's hitting the gym. He's doing some strength training, as per Coach Sandy. The question is, after the last race in Houston, he was kind of, you know, interviewed by this guy from Let's Run, and it was kind of really an odd interview. It wasn't a pleasant interview. I don't know. It wasn't confrontational, but it was just kind of weird. And in any event, you know, Sage goes, yeah, I'm being coached by, you know, Sandy, and but I didn't really follow her plan all the way. And the guy made a remark while saying, oh, that's a good relationship. And that's why I say it was kind of awkward. But my question for you guys is, he's committed to it. Does he follow Coach Sandy's plan all the way this time and get that OTQ?
I don't think he follow. I don't know if he
I mean
does
no no I don't I yeah I don't want to say he's not going to qualify, but he's shown how many
not
times
follow.
Now that he's not followed the plan. Like, this isn't the first
he's gonna
time.
Do it. He's going to do it this time.
I think he could do it. I'm rooting for him. You know we love
he's
Sage.
He's following the plan is what I'm saying.
Sage is the dude, man. Sage, you know, for the listeners and the article we did, we got Bart Yasso got credited for breaking us. I really believe Sage Candidate is the person that really broke us.
Yeah, absolutely.
More than Bart, because Bart, you know, love him, but he does a lot of interviews. So whether you
was I there for Sage?
Yes, you were the first one.
Oh, that's where I was. It's like deer in the headlights.
One of these days, I'm going to release the unedited footage of that one. We both were really, boy, we put some doozies out there. But
one last thing about Sage, he's one of the most consistent guys in the sports with his vlogging, with his running, with his, I mean. Come on, it takes some balls to go for this one last time here. He's doing it smart. He's not cramming four marathons all together at once. He's giving it time, but the guy's just rock solid, consistent, and he's good for the sport too. He's one of the most
likable. You know, he's one of the guys you'd root for.
Yeah,
he's a sponsor's dream. That's for sure, man. He knows how to rock the sponsors.
Oh yeah,
he promotes them real well.
I'm gonna say something controversial. You ready? I was going to say something really ridiculous.
I get nervous when Glenn says that.
Me too.
Go for it.
Tim Ferricks will beat Jim Walmsley at Western States.
Okay, hold on. Black Canyon is this weekend. That was one of my other headlines, right? Tim Ferricks, in order to get that opportunity to do what you just said, he has to get one of the golden tickets this race. He has to get one of the golden tickets available in this race. His Coconino Cowboy partner, Eric Sensman, is going to be there, and Zach Bitter is another big name in this race. Do you think the two Cowboys get the golden tickets and get a chance to compete against and with Jim Walmsley?
That would be pretty awesome to see that. Do I think he would take one? I don't know, man. We go through this so many times with Walmsley. It's like it depends on the game that Walmsley goes in with.
Yeah.
Does he go for a record or does he go for a win?
I honestly believe Tim could be different. The beatdown he put on the North Face runners, and they were really high quality. Hayden Hawks was off of CCC, right?
Yeah.
I mean, one of the best ultra races
so
in
fast.
The world. You know what I mean? Not just in America. This is one of the greatest ones. Yeah, he's good. Zach Miller, defending champion, right?
Awesome. Yep.
Dude beat – he won that race by a lot, not by a little. Like, it was very convincing. 16
minutes or something?
He won every race. I think this guy – I don't know. I'd like to see where he goes. I think, yes, Bill. I think he's going to get the golden ticket. I don't know about I'm not a big fan of the names. I think it's cute, I guess. You know what I mean?
Is it getting a little out of control, guys?
Yeah, the Cappuccino Cowboys and the Coconino Cowboys.
We got a lot of different Cowboys now, it seems like. Every week there's a new one.
Enough.
I'm down with the Banditos. That's all I got to say. Jerry West, what's up?
I'm glad they didn't give themselves like a Bandito cowboy name or something.
The Canadian Cowboys.
So, and my prediction is I'd be surprised if Frerichs doesn't win this weekend. Hope he does. So that'll make Western really interesting. You know what else is interesting? Courtney, the Walter who was just on the show, her name's still on the list for this weekend's race. Nobody's confirmed whether she's not going to do it because she got her golden ticket at Sean O'Brien. But wouldn't it be something if she just said, meh, I feel like running this weekend, and she just dominates the field.
Who else is in the female division there against her? Anyone that would be like, because what do we want to see, right? We want to see Camille versus
Courtney at Western,
right? Yeah. I mean, that's the showdown. That's the thing. You know, honest to God, if I had the means or if I had the ability to get the sponsors to do this, I would do like an ultra showdown. You know what I mean? I think that would be awesome to have two. Just do like Courtney versus Camille straight up. You raise $75,000, you know, 50 to the winner, 25 to second place, and let them go, man. And do the same with the males. Take Wamsley and whoever you want to go and let them go at, you know, whatever the distance would be that you think would be fair. Either 100 miles, 75, 50. I mean, if you want, you know, I think that would be a good for the sport, which, you know, probably a lot of people would disagree with me because I noticed someone had said something about the Olympics, you know, like it being an Olympic sport. Camille Heron wanted it to be an Olympic sport. Yeah. I noticed a lot of feedback from some of the ultra runners were, don't wreck our sport. You know, like, we don't want it that way. We want it to stay the way it is. It's a niche sport. Is it how you say it? Niche?
But I mean, that kind of goes back to a conversation the three of us had, I think, off air and with drones and on the trails, right? I mean, there's some that say, oh, no, but it would give so much exposure. I mean, just like, you know, UTMB, we see so much. Maybe we talked about this on our last episode. I can't remember, but. I don't know, man. I mean, I think there'd be more people to say, yeah, if they put it in the Olympics. Why not? I mean,
I would say let these people make money, you know? I mean,
yeah, exactly.
There's a short window of opportunity, and I think they should be compensated for it. Like Courtney DeWalter, she won that 240-mile race, you know, Moab 240, and didn't win nothing, no prize money. Ooh, that's tough, man. That's tough. You do a hell of a feat like that. You know, there's got to be some kind of compensation. I'm sure with sponsors come through and this and that, but, man, that's tough.
She won the Joe Rogan lottery.
Yeah. I want to fight Joe Rogan.
So who do you guys got at Western, Camille or Courtney?
Courtney.
Yeah, I don't know, man. It's too early.
Too early?
I don't know.
Yeah, well, no, the reason I say Courtney will be because Camille's doing Comrades again. And that turnaround, I think, is too fast. Ann Trason did it, but Ann Trason didn't have, I don't think, at that time period, there wasn't that person biting at her heels.
Competition was weaker.
Yeah, and it really could be someone that we're not listing, E.L. Wang or...
Yeah.
There's some tough.
I need Casey to see the rest of the field.
Yeah. Yeah, Casey's tough. If she gets right, you know what I mean? Who the hell is going to be her? It's
all right, fellas. This is a good time to wrap this show up for the week. It's been fun talking. We'll have a few interviews coming up in the next few weeks. Beer with Sleepy G is coming up.
Let's talk about the beer with Sleepy G.
We've been stalling on that, huh? Because it was a little controversial.
Controversial. But you know what? Hey, leave feedback on the show if you want to hear it. Me and Bill have been fighting about this. You want to hear it? Tell him you want to hear it. Let Bill know you want a beer with Sleepy G. You don't care if Sleepy G went out of control and said controversial things about colors of tacos. Who cares, man? Let's post this thing.
All right. Well, let them decide.
Structured son of a bitch.
Nerd.
Thanks, everybody, for tuning in.
Those iron muscles.
We'll be back next week. I'll tell you guys what.
What?
I had an avocado that was really close to being bad. Sean, is it bad when there's like white stuff on the outer edge of it? Or is that still
when you
good?
Cut it open?
Man, yeah. Like lovely.
Thanks for listening to the Negative Splits podcast. If you'd like to help the show, head over to iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts and leave us a rating or review. If you'd like to contact the show, send us an email at negativesplitspodcast@gmail.com. You can find us on Instagram and Twitter. We're the Negative Splits. And if you're on Strava, why not step up to the challenge and join the Negative Splits Podcast Club?